You are an entrepreneur, a professional, a speaker, or a coach. And although you've come a long way, it's time for you to take it to the next level. We've got you. This is the Author to Authority Podcast. We'll help you use authority and influencer marketing to build your business stronger and faster by publishing a book. You'll hear from guests that are thought leaders in sales, marketing, networking, communication, social media, promotion, and business leadership. Let's do it. This is the Author to Authority Podcast.
And now your host, the extraordinary word ninja, Kim Thompson Pender.
Welcome to the Author to Authority Podcast. And if you've ever been told that you always have to be straight-laced and professional and never crack a smile when dealing with your clients, then you are going to be much relieved with today's episode of the Author to Authority Podcast. I want to welcome Connor to the show. He is Irishman Speaks. This man is happily exiled in Chicago, where he says the Guinness is good, the people are friendly, and has been force-fed more corned beef and green beer than he ever had in Ireland. Connor is a former marketing vice president who now earns a crust as a keynote speaker, business humorist, and consultant who leaves audiences with a smile on their face, a spring in their step, and memorable, actionable takeaways to improve people, performance, and productivity with a smile. Connor is a Chicago Humor Speaker of the Year for a speech, would you believe, on customer service in San Quentin Prison. He is also a recipient of the President's Gold Medal for volunteer service for his work with the unemployed. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Thank you, Kim. I tell you, I couldn't have written that introduction better myself. Although maybe I should have asked AI to make some enhancements on it at this stage, but thank you for reading it well.
I don't know. I thought it's pretty good. I find AI times it's not as fun.
I completely agree. I mean, that's an intro I have read out almost every single presentation I do. It kind of binds a little bit of humor and some credibility about my business as well. So it works really well. And in terms of AI, yeah, AI is stilted language a lot of the time, I think.
Yeah. I think you want to stand out. You know, if you're going to be seen as that expert authority, a plain old boring bio just is not going to cut it. So your bio is a perfect example of professionalism marked with expertise, with a little bit of humor, and just some ways that delicious words, as my best friend would call them, that makes you stand out. So I am so glad that we're going to be having this conversation today. So Connor, there's a perception out there that, you know, to be a professional means you can't have fun, you can't smile, you always have to be, you know, this stiff person. So I would love for you just to share for a moment or two, can humor play a part in connecting with the clients?
Most definitely, Kim. I think it is essential that you are professional and that you provide the services and the products that you say you're going to offer. But you've got to connect with the client initially. And there is no doubt about it that if you can, during a sales pitch, I do a program on adding humor to your sales presentation, for instance, if just once or twice you get your client smiling, it does not have to be uproarious laughter kind of thing where you have to bring in the defibrillator to make sure the person doesn't die from an oxygen shortage or something like that. But if you can once or twice in your presentation, be it a business presentation, a presentation from the stage, a keynote, get your audience smiling and laughing a few times during that presentation, what happens is that it helps to build the relationship between you and the person, between you and your audience. So humor in almost all cases, obviously there are a few different ones, humor almost always has a place, an appropriate place in presentations and in communication.
I liked how you talked about relationship. And I think you know, in today's society, you know, with AI, with technology, you know, with all of these things that seem to make marketing easier, I think it takes out the personal element. And, you know, especially when you're a consultant, you're a professional, you're a speaker, one of your goals needs to be to create those relationships. In fact, when I talk about writing books for your business, you know, if you're writing a book to build your business, I use the word create. And the C in create is create authentic relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but humor is an amazing tool to do that. When you laugh over something together with someone, you feel bonded to them.
Most definitely. And I would suggest that humor is almost the core essence of the first communication. For instance, what does a little baby do when you look at it? It smiles. It doesn't talk. It just smiles. When that baby smiles, you smile. And that's the power of the smile and the humor and the brain. It creates dopamine, serotonin, etc. Just neurochemicals that our brain says, if these pop, we're going to feel better. And if you use humor in your presentations, in your work life, work with your colleagues, it those kind of neurochemicals do pop, and they're going to create a better teamwork. And I do believe that for good teams, having a level of humor, a smile that'll make people feel good once or twice during the week or during the day is a really powerful way to enhance the productivity of your team as well.
You know, it's funny you talk about babies, and here's a little hint and tip for you, audience. If you're feeling down and depressed, just go to YouTube and Google baby laughing videos. I promise you, by the end, your heart will be lifted, and there'll be a smile on your face. Right now, we're living half a country away from our grandkids, and sometimes it gets hard, and you know, Nana gets a little down, and then my daughter will send me a video of the grandkids doing something. You know, the other day she sent me a video of the youngest. He's 1 year old. He has one of these spinner things, right?
Right.
Well, he puts it on the ground and then he spins it. But I guess it vibrates kind of like they have a wood floor. So he'll lie on the ground and listen to the how the spinner sounds on the ground. And then it'll slow down and he gets up and he's all happy and he's like, and then he spins the thing again.
Yeah.
And Nana's heart just... I'm just like, okay, my day is better now. Nana's had a little baby fixed. And, you know, and then I've got a 4 year old who, you know, says the most hilarious things and then sings to Nana. And it's like, oh, that just makes my day better.
Yeah. You know what? You've raised a number of really interesting points there. I do a lot of work with people who are in job search. It's not an income stream. It's just a passion of mine. And you know, you talk about the power of words also. I'm just going slightly sidetracked for a second. The only time I ever use the U word, as I refer to it as unemployed, is when I reference that award I got for President's Gold Medal for Volunteer Service. Because I tell job seekers not to use the word unemployed, use the word job search or job seeker, because it's a different mindset. But what I do when I'm speaking to job seekers, I tell them about the importance of putting a smile in their face just before they go into the interview. And I will actually use that kids laughing or babies laughing YouTube concept, because one of the things I say at these presentations, Kim, is I tell people to Google pandas, P-A-N-D-A. Look, you're laughing already. And what happens is I say to people, before you do that interview, before you have that telephone call or that screening call, find some way to put a smile in your face and to do something that makes you feel happy. One of the ways, obviously, is watching your grandkids. I have two darling grandkids here. I look at their photographs from time to time and I know I smile. If you're going into an interview, maybe look at those photographs of your grandkids, of your puppy, of your dog. Another one that popped up that I use after I heard it, after I mentioned Google pandas, someone said to me, Google goat yoga. Goat yoga, which is basically a form of yoga where a person is doing their regular yoga exercises and there's baby goats jumping up all over them. It's ludicrous, but it's a thing. But what it does is it puts a smile in people's face. And when they smile, they're going to feel better. They can walk into that interview 12 foot tall and bulletproof, or walk into that sales call feeling more positive. And that's really a powerful, simple tool that people can use to feel better about themselves, to perform better.
When I want to laugh, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called The Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's some of those episodes that I will watch. The funniest, sometimes it's not, the humor on the show is really good, but sometimes the funniest part of the show is the fact that they're all trying not to crack up because their humor is so good. They're making each other laugh, but yet they're trying to act out this scene and not laugh at the same time. So the more they try not to laugh, the more I'm laughing watching them try not to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. The one where, what's the guy's name? Tim, he plays the dentist.
Conway?
Yeah. Oh, sweet Lord above. And he actually anesthetizes himself rather than the patient. That is just one of the funniest pieces of humor you will see anywhere.
Funny thing is I've heard interviews from all of them doing that show, and Tim Conway was known for going off script. You just never knew what he was going to do. And he had comedic genius.
Yeah.
Like, his timing was perfect. He just knew what to do to make people laugh. And so on a regular basis, he'd go off script, and they did not know what was going to come out of his mouth next. There's one about the elephant, conjoined elephants, and there's a circus one where he went completely off script. It's one of the funniest scenes ever.
Yeah.
And because they're all trying not to laugh. And eventually you've got two of them on the ground laughing. The other two are on the couch, absolutely losing it. And Tim is still talking, straight face talking, coming up. And everyone, the audience and everyone else has lost it. And he's still talking straight face. And the more he's doing it, the more you're laughing. And you're just like, you come out of it barely able to breathe because you're just laughing so hard. But I love what you said about, you know, job seekers and doing that before they go in. What a way to, first of all, relieve nervous energy, because laughing would do that. But also, like you said, put a smile on your face. And I think too, I think that would work well, you know, when you have to work with that important client, you know, when you've got that sales call that's got you stressed out. Because I don't know about you, but when you're desperate, it comes through in your body language.
Oh,
and people can see it. They don't see it. They feel it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of pushes people away. So if you can get rid of that sort of feeling desperate, then, you know, you can go in very relaxed and comfortable. Now, we're going to take a very quick ad break. Audience, RTI Publishing has lots of, not lots, we have some resources and some new ones that'll be coming out in the next couple of months to help you not only write books that converts readers into clients, but also helps you to scale your business. We'll be right back.
Writing and publishing a book that converts readers into client and scales your business is hard, but it doesn't have to be. Get my free checklist at bit.ly/create-and-scale that will show you what you need to do to have your book become a well-converting lead generating tool.
Welcome back, Connor. What a great conversation so far. I want you to share a little bit of your story. I'm assuming that you were in Toastmasters by being the humorous speaker of the year.
I was, Kim. Yes, I came over originally from Ireland. And as I tell people, Kim, I've been working on my Chicago accent now for 25 years. Doing well, haven't I? Okay. The plan was I would be here for just about 3 years, but there was a corporate move and they asked me to stay longer. And then after they asked me to go back to Europe, I didn't want to do that for family reasons. So as I tell people, I told my company to get stuffed. They told me get stuffed, and we had a mutual stuffing. So that's how I actually left the corporate environment. And I initially started doing some consulting work on food service, which is my background. I did some presentations at events, and I was asked to come back as they were providing good content. And I was also getting comments like a very humorous presenter as well as very good content. So I kind of got involved with Toastmasters at that stage. And I'm sure Toastmasters now who are watching will say, Connor, you shouldn't have used the word kind of there because that's a filler. But anyway, okay. So I got involved with Toastmasters and I really enjoyed it because I got involved in one or two clubs that where they had good evaluators, and that's important. I didn't want someone just to say, Connor, that was a really good speech and I love your accent. I wanted ways to enhance the speech. And then I did a number of speech competitions. I did a humorous speech competition. And the point about humor, Kim, is that surprise is one of the key elements of humor. So I was doing some presentations on customer service and business environment and telling some stories about areas where customer service went wrong in relation to me kind of thing. And I thought, well, where else could it really be interesting to put a customer service story? I said, okay, customer service and the DMV, maybe. But then I thought of customer service and jail, San Quentin Prison. So I came up with that concept of customer service in San Quentin Prison. And I actually put I used some of the lines from it still in my presentation. So I talk about the importance of having a clear mission statement. So I might be doing a serious business presentation. I say, all right, we want to talk about your mission statement. And let's be honest, gang, some mission statements, a bunch of baloney or a bunch of hooky, for instance. I could tell you that the mission statement for San Quentin Prison reads as follows. Here in San Quentin, we are dedicated to your security. Your freedom is our number one concern. It sounds wonderful. It makes logical sense. It's totally illogical. Okay. But that allows me then to talk seriously about the importance of having a good mission statement and making sure it's a mission statement that's relevant and that everyone can buy into kind of thing. So I use humor to introduce the concept, but then we go to the serious part of it. And that's an example of how I use humor in my presentations. The other thing you mentioned before the break about your grandkids. And you said that your four-year-old says the funniest things. When I'm doing programs on adding humor to your presentation, I've got an online course on that, I tell people you don't have to be funny to be funny. And they kind of go, what? The Irish man is crazy. He's not funny. He's just crazy. Okay, right. But what I mean by that is just capture the humor around you. And especially with grandkids, they'll say something that you're going to laugh at. You probably tell that to your friends. Your friends are laughing at it. Now ask yourself, is there some little nugget in that that I could use in my business presentation or in when I'm dealing with other people to add humor, but also show a message related to it? And particularly in today's environment, when so many people are in the workforce with grandkids, we're all young grandparents these days, I suppose, you can relate very much to them. When I'm speaking to my audience, I can guarantee I've got a fair number of grandparents, be they boomers, Gen Z, Gen Y, etc. in the audience. So I could tell a story about my grandkid, but it doesn't even have to be someone who has a grandchild. So capture the humor, write it down. You never know when you're going to use it, but you will be able to use it at some time, someplace, somewhere.
You know, growing up, I was known for the fact that I could not tell a joke to save my life.
Right.
And so what I did as a kid is I memorized one joke.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I memorized two jokes. Yeah. But there was one joke I could tell in just about any audience that nobody would kind of get offended or anything. So I had one joke. And so I would practice that. But when I was in Toastmasters, I wanted to introduce more humor. So I did take the humorous track in Toastmaster to learn more about it. And one of the things I realized was what you just said. I don't have to be funny. I just have to find the funny things that other people did. And so also as well, I was very gullible as a kid and I did some really crazy things. So when I did my humorous speech, it was on Captain Patience and his sidekick Gullible Girl. Right. AKA me and my dad, because my dad's patience was tried, just about every single day raising my sister and I by himself.
Right. Yeah.
And I shared the story of how I flooded out our apartment because we ran out of dishwashing powder and I put liquid dishwashing soap. And when the suds came out, instead of turning the dishwasher off, I opened it up while it was running and flooded out the house. And, you know, the time a cat got into our house and we weren't allowed pets and we had to try and get this cat out before dad came home, and we decided to stink the thing out with garlic.
Yeah.
But it was, I learned that I don't have to be funny. I, like you said, find the funny in other things. I had something happen to one of my freelancers yesterday, and she had posted it, and I thought, that is hilarious. So I'm actually going to ask her if it's okay if I can use that sort of as an example of miscommunication. She was dealing with something with a doctor for her daughter, and the doctor kept saying something, and she didn't know what it was. Like, it was just really strange.
Yeah.
And then so she finally asked him, and he says, "That's not what I said. This is what I said." And she's like, "Okay, now that makes sense, but that's not how the word sounded coming out of the doctor's mouth."
Right.
So I am going to ask her permission if I can share that story.
Right.
Oh, we are 20 minutes in. So I know you've got some other hints and tips for adding humor. So I'm going to let you loose for about 5 minutes to share more on adding humor when connecting with the clients.
Right. Well, I mean, you just did a wonderful intro to what I want to speak about there. The stories you were talking about was something went wrong, the dishwasher, etc. Now you're able to laugh at it. And I actually have an acronym in my course on adding humor to your presentation, which spells laugh, L-A-U-G-H. The first element is L is for listen. So when you see something, hear something, listen to it, write it down. That makes you laugh, write it down. You don't know when you're going to use it. A and U are exactly what you were speaking about a few seconds ago, Kim. It's an anecdote that was at the time, which is the A. U is uncomfortable, where something went wrong. So when that dishwasher thing was happening, you were not laughing probably. You were kind of going, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" But no, it is a big piece of humor, and there's lessons in it that you could bring into any presentation. So if you have a story that you tell your friends around the water cooler or at the coffee shop or at the pub that has them laughing, it's probably a story where something went wrong, but now we can talk about it. And if you can then take a message from that, drop it in, you have a wonderful way to make it happen. A very brief example I've got of that, Kim, would be a couple of weeks ago, I went to collect my darling granddaughter, Maggie, from soccer practice. We put her into the, I'll shorten it, we put her into the back seat of the car, and my darling wife sits in beside Maggie, and then I sit in the back seat as well. And Maggie looks at me and she says, "Grampy, you should be driving the car." And I say, "Oh, I want to stay here, Maggie." And she says, "Grampy," as only a six-year-old little darling could do, "I drive the car." So I get to get out of the back seat of the car. We're on child lock. I'm stuck in the back seat of the car. I've got to phone my daughter, who had left us, to come back to the parking lot and open the back seat of the car for us. Now, that's an actual story that happened, but the moral of it is, and I've used it for manufacturing conferences and for any conference where safety is an issue. And I say, "Gang, the critical thing about that story is that I wasn't paying attention to my environment properly." Now, it wasn't a big deal, but if you're in a manufacturing environment or an environment where safety is critical and you need to look after your own friends and work colleagues as well, you've got to pay attention to your environment. And the final point about that one, Kim, is that I can actually refer back to that later in my presentation, saying, "Gang, if you've got grandkids, if you've got kids and you see them in the backseat of the car, remember, you've got to pay attention to your environment. If you're driving on the highway and you see a kid strapped into the backseat of a car, think about paying attention to your environment and ask yourself, am I aware of all that's going around me when I'm in the workplace?" So an example of capturing the humor, using a message, telling a story about it. And that really is one of the really simple tricks about adding humor to your presentation. You don't have to create it, capture it. And that is critical.
Love it, love it, love it. Connor, you told me that you are the author of several books. So first of all, I think we're going to talk about the Irish. You'll have to tell me the name again, but the Irish one.
Yeah, one of the books I wrote quite a number of years ago now, Kim, was titled Why Ireland Never Invaded America. Subtitle, A Humorous Look at Business Strategy. Okay. And basically the idea there is that I tell people, it's a done story form. A U.S. citizen comes to visit his Irish cousin and they swap business ideas with some goofball examples dropped in throughout the presentation. But there's good business sense in it and there is a logic and a rhythm to the story that got me very good responses. I mean, it's quite old now. I might actually do a rework on it. But I tell you, it's so old that I never used AI in the book. I never used Twitter in the book. I never use Facebook, I think, in the book. So it's kind of one of those ones that the messages are timeless. Maybe the language sometimes needs some updating. But then I've written a few other books as well. I'm a big Mark Twain fan, and I've written two books about Twain. One is What Mark Twain Can Learn You About Public Speaking. And I take 9 lessons, which happen to spell the acronym Mark Twain. What are the chances? And those 9 lessons are based on Twain's writings and speeches on how to connect with your audience. And the other one then is I enjoy politics a lot. I read a lot of history and biographies. And the other one is Mark Twain on Politics. The actual title is Suppose You Were an Idiot. And the reason why I've come up with that title is that Twain once said, suppose you were an idiot, suppose you were a congressman, but I repeat myself. And everything Twain wrote 150, 160 years ago is still appropriate today about politics, politicians, their cant, a hypocrisy. And he just despised that. And he wrote some very humorous comments and acerbic references to politicians, legislature, and the whole political environment. That's Suppose You Were an Idiot. It's available on Amazon.
So, Connor, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask every single author that comes on the show, and you can either answer it for all of your books or you can pick one in particular. So what has been the good, the bad, and the ugly about writing, editing, and publishing books?
Right. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is actually creating the book, I think. The bad, I would suggest, is actually, it's a bit like having a child. You create the child. You fun creating the child. You kind of wait for the 9 months, etc., for the child to arrive. And then after the child has been birthed, you got to bring this little bundle of joy that you've worked, looking forward to, alive and allow it to mature and develop. And marketing your book is a challenge. There's no doubt about that. And one of the areas that I am getting better at, I'm now doing some work on putting out some Twain quotes on Twitter every day from Suppose You Were an Idiot, because it's really appropriate here in the US environment at the moment. So marketing the book, I think, is probably the biggest factor. And the ugly is there was a time when I used schlep books from conference to conference kind of thing. That was just draining, because you've got books that either arrive in bad condition or you're paying extra fees and that kind of thing. And then you have to bring some of them back or you give them away free. So the ugly is trying to sell books at the back of a room at this stage, which doesn't really happen anymore. You just provide people with your QR code or with some details about your website and purchase them from there, etc. But it's a wonderful process writing a book. The challenge is to make the marketing of it successful. And I think most authors, and I'm a marketing person myself, we're not as good at that as we should be.
I have found book marketing is a very unique, well, it's not unique, but there are some things that you have to do differently when you're marketing a book. And, you know, it's how you're going to use that book, because, you know, it's great that you sell books, but then how do you get people to convert from that? So there's always there's a lot of marketing that has to go around a book. It's not just the book, it's everything else that goes with it. So I hear you. It's something that I'm studying and researching as a publisher. You know, how can I help my clients market their books better? We create amazing books, but definitely, you know, the marketing side is something that we're working on for 2024 is now that we've got these amazing books, how do we get them out to the world? Right. Connor, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, what you're doing is absolutely right, because you've taken the today's media, the podcasts, and you're using that to be able to get the message out. I mean, advertising in newspapers for a book at this stage, that works maybe for John Grisham, but not for any other kind of author. So podcasting and YouTube, putting this out on YouTube are ways, really good ways for you to get the message out about your books and your clients' books.
I love it. Love it. We only got a minute or two left. Connor, I would love for you to share one final thought. And if people have enjoyed this conversation, not if, the people who have enjoyed this conversation today, how can they connect with you?
Right. So for the 1.7 million people who are watching this right now, I would say that you can go to my Irishman Speaks website, irishmanspeaks.com. That's probably the best way to connect with me. I've got contact details there. I'm on Twitter at Irishman Speaks. I'm on LinkedIn at Irishman Speaks. I just sent you a LinkedIn invite this morning, by the way, Kim. I'm on Facebook at Irishman Speaks as well, all one word. And basically, my mission is to improve people, performance, and productivity with a smile. And what I hope I did today, which is what I hope I do with all my clients, is to leave you with a smile in the face, with a spring in the step, and some actionable takeaways that will help you to achieve your particular objective. Irishmanspeaks.com.
Awesome. One final thought for us?
Final thought, you don't have to be funny to be funny. Capture the humor around you. Write it into your notebook or into your iPhone or Android. Keep it there. You don't know when you're going to use it, but sometime, somewhere, when you want to convey a message with a little bit of imagery and humor, look at those notes. You'll find something that will help you to add humor to your presentation and connect better with your client.
Thank you so much, Connor. It's been a joy, a pleasure, and some wonderful laughs having you on the show today. Yeah, audience, if you're looking for where to go to next, I recommend episode 484, Using Thought Leadership and Story to Grow Your Business. If you're on YouTube, you know the routine. My daughter places the thumbnail somewhere here on the screen. If you're on your favorite podcast app, you're not going to have to scan back too far, maybe about 12 episodes or so. I just want to encourage you today that if you're having a bit of late winter, early spring blues, add some humor to your life. Make yourself feel better. Keep moving forward with your business. Have a great day, everyone, and we will see you on the very next episode. Bye now.
Cheers. Thanks, Kim.
You've been listening to the Author to Authority podcast. The extraordinary word ninja, Kim Thompson Pinder,
has helped over 200 entrepreneurs, professionals, speakers, and coaches write and publish their books that have become incredible marketing tools for their business. And many of those have gone on to become Amazon best-selling authors and have used their books to land high-level clients and get on big stages. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit the website at www.authortoauthoritypodcast.com. See you next time.